pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, our one podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Fletcher, good afternoon. The Sweet 16 just hours away, and we'll head out to Los Angeles to help you get ready. Detroit as well. Two major games involving SEC teams, Tennessee and, of course, Alabama tonight against the Tar Heels. That's the game that begins at 9:39 Eastern time. The South Carolina women tomorrow against Indiana. That's 5 p.m. Tennessee tomorrow night. You may want to take a nap if you're a Vol fan. Doesn't start till 10:09 Eastern time. Who comes up with these starting times? And how about this game on Saturday afternoon? LSU and UCLA. If LSU and Iowa win, we have the game of the year in college basketball on Monday. Bama headline from the Tuscaloosa News. Reitzel banged up the other day in the concussion protocol. Can he play or not? That may decide whether he can play or not, may decide whether the Crimson Tide live to see another day. We'll have the story in just a minute. A couple of new head coaches being introduced today, and we'll have coverage of both. Kenny Brooks, highly regarded women's coach, coming over to Kentucky, and Mark Byington replacing Stackhouse at Vanderbilt. Will dip in and out of coverage as those two events happen. And of course, the guest today, Nick Kelly from LA, Pat Forty from Detroit, Ainsley Lee covering the Auburn Tigers. From where else but Auburn, Alabama. And an update on our bracket a little bit later on as well. And we hope all of you had a good day, having a good day so far. Let's get right to it. And we begin with the victor in the John versus John shootout, the most eagerly anticipated match and the closest so far in the caller bracket. John, good afternoon.
Yeah, it took a lot of pressure off me, Paul, making it through round one. That and getting a black hat were high on my bucket list. Now I can shoot and try and pursue the easier ones like climbing Mount Everest and sailing around the world. By the way, I did the math on John yesterday. He said he was 77. He attended the 62 last press conference of Nixon. Would that make him 15 at the time?
That would.
I think so.
And there, you know, I don't know about you, but I didn't. And by the way, I know a lot of people in history who were at the Ambassador Hotel on June 6th in 68, because they were devotees of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Robert F. Kennedy, I should say, not Jr. I don't know anyone who was pulling for Nixon in 62 against Pat Brown in the governor's race. Do you?
No, not at age 15 either. Yeah. He got his hotels mixed up, of course.
By the way, what's interesting to me is that, did you realize this, that John from St. Louis and Jim from Tuscaloosa are the same age?
I'm just going to say that. They're the two story ladies of your program. Hey, Paul, I was going to comment on Kentucky. I thought you and Vance yesterday were spot on. You were right about Kentucky not coming up with the money, or Calipari would be long gone. And then I thought Vance made a good point about the apathy that's set into the program, kind of reminiscent of Texas A&M last year, where you're stuck with him, you'd like him to go, but it just costs too much money. And so my question to you is, when are we going to hold these ADs responsible or accountable, like Mitch Barnhart and Ross Bjork? What's your thoughts?
Well, I it's a good question, John, and thank you for the call. I think ADs right now are really at the mercy of their fan bases. It's not their money. They're living in the moment. They're not really like planning long-term business models. And I think in Bjork's case, he was compelled to do it to keep Fisher at the university as opposed to going to LSU. I don't really understand what's going on at Texas. I found the Mitch Barnhart, John Calipari interview yesterday a little bit sad. I think Mitch Barnhart really means well. I think he's an outstanding AD, but Calipari just was cringeworthy at that press conference. Bash is up next. Hello, Bash. Go right ahead.
Bash, Brother Paul, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to ask you about the big question about tonight's game, but before I do, I wanted to thank you, Paul, for yesterday passing my message along to
AJ Styles.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, listen, you gave me the questions.
Oh, absolutely, and I even got a Fubo TV free trial, Paul, to watch his reaction, and I'm watching him Zoom you from his basement where he plays video games, wearing his stupid Twitch screen glasses, and the minute you inform him that an LA Knight fan who rolls with the tide called in, he gets so offended he throws his glasses off like a petulant child. Now, Paul, I'm going to give you an inside scoop as a up-and-coming journalist.
Well, maybe not. Hey, Bash. You got to finish the call you started. If you're talking smack, you got to stay on the line. You got to come up with a better phone, cell phone provider than Fubal. John is up next in Florida. Hello, John.
Yeah, if you're talking smack, you got to talk back. I mean, my goodness, talk about dropping in the middle. Paul, overall disappointed in the SEC the way we played in the tournament, but I'm still glad that Bama, Tennessee is in it. Just your gut feeling, Tennessee and Bama advancing to Elite Eight. Give it to me. What do you think?
I have a stronger level of confidence with Tennessee than I do with Alabama.
Mainly because of the defense?
Yeah, I just think Tennessee is a little bit more of a complete team. I also think they have an easier matchup, and I'm well aware of Creighton. They're a good team, but I just think Tennessee is a more complete team.
I wanted to get your opinion because something I've been thinking about. I'm a Vol fan. I love our Tennessee offense under Josh Heupel football. Does this Alabama basketball team remind you a little bit of Tennessee football as far as they just press the pedal and try to outscore you as much as
they
can?
Yeah, they do. I mean, they play recklessly great. And that's I worry, though, it's not even possibly losing one of their top players tonight, but they're inconsistent. And to me, North Carolina is a very complete team. They're not really deep, but their front five, their top five are just amazing. I think we have Bash back. We'll give him a mulligan. You bought the mulligan before the round. Use it wisely.
Yes, sir. So, Paul, after the show, AJ Styles got on his Xbox. He put in WWE 2K, and he played as himself beating LA Knight, because that is the only way he is going to beat him at WrestleMania. Because let me tell you something, Paul. AJ Styles is as pathetic as AJ from Pell City.
Ooh.
AJ from Pell City called are the
that's
same.
That's seriously pathetic.
That is not pathetic, Paul. His calls are the same every day. All he does is do an impression of John from St. Louis and talks about War Damn Eagle. Let me just say this to AJ real quickly, because I heard his grandchild had a 4-year-old birthday yesterday. You know what's the best gift you can give that child, Paul? A birth certificate telling him he's adopted.
You know, I don't know what you paid to get that second call in, but it wasn't worth it. Let's, Tanner is up next. Hello, Tanner.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my phone call.
Thank you.
But let me start off by saying roll tide, because it's game day. And I just got a good feeling about tonight. But, Paul, yesterday afternoon, I was pleasantly surprised to find out that I had advanced in your caller bracket. I know it's an honor and a privilege to even be going up against the great Handsome Joe. He's one of my favorites. But, Paul, my favorite country music artist, Mr. Dwight Yoakam, put it best when he said, "I came here looking for something that I can't find anywhere else.
Ooh.
I'm not trying to be nobody. I just want a chance to be myself." And you, Paul, you and your show allow all your listeners to do that. That's this show is a forum that you can't find anywhere else. You ain't going to find it anywhere. And you allow your callers to be who they want to be, for better and for worse. So to all the haters, to Jim from Tuscaloosa, Jeff from Ohio, I-Man, good luck finding it somewhere else. If this show isn't good enough for you anymore, good luck finding what you're looking for, because this is the Paul Feinbaum Show. It is rarely imitated and never duplicated. So, Paul, when they hate...
Andrew,
that
may be one of the greatest calls I've ever heard in the history of this show. Because you describe what we do here.
Well, Paul, I've watched this show a long time and listened, and ever since you got nationally syndicated, people have been saying it's not like it used to be. So, but 9 times out of 10, they always come back. So, Paul, I just want to give you
well, thank
and your
you very
team
much, Tanner. We are in your debt for shooting straight putting Jim in his place. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And let's check in with Matt in San Antonio. Hello, Matt.
Hey, guys. I need to get that off my chest. Well, I know yesterday I was yelling at Squirrel, but what I meant by my family drives you nuts, I have a sister, my brother, and my dad. Remember, I don't care or don't believe I could do anything with my life. I can't get married to a normal girl. I'm never going to work for the UN. I'm going to live with them the rest of my life. Paul, you know what tears me up inside real bad?
What's that, Matt?
I promised my mom I'll never be like my dad because he did some messed up stuff to her and my brother. I'm not going to say what he did.
Okay.
I don't want to become him. I hate my mom's husband now. He lied to me like my dad did half my life and tried to buy presents or buy my love back. I forgave him. I can't forgive Tony right now, and I don't know how. And I pray to God he can forgive me. This might sound selfish, but I wish they never would have met each other. My mom had an ex-boyfriend named Al. He was a cop. And I regret I couldn't tell him that I love him because part of who I am is because of him and my mom. I'm dealing with that right now. When people think I'm making excuses, I can't go out. I can't get hot too badly or have a seizure if I hit my head. I'm dealing with mental. Paul, my sanity has gone out the window. Yeah, I'm happy back in San Antonio, but I have resentment towards my sister and bitterness for her thinking like that because she just wants to see me fall flat on my face. I'm not the same person you knew, but I'm trying to come back. It's not that easy to forgive somebody who reminds you of your dad. It's not. And I, like I said, I hope God could forgive me for thinking that way sometimes, that I wish I never would have met and I would have worked out with my mom. I'm not. And I don't know what to do. That's why I get angry when people attack my disability. Okay? I'm messed up in the head, Paul. I'm trying to get better. I have social security. I can't go over that. I just want you to know that. I know I'm not on the break. But I don't know what to do with the anger. I don't want to let my mom down. I can't even recognize myself in the mirror, man. They're not all bad, my family members. It just hurts. I want you to know that, man.
Well, let me offer this, Matt. Thank you for being so honest and being who you are. And we all are pulling hard for you, and you continue to call and let us know if there is anything that we can do. Thank you very, very much. Mitch is up next.
Well, Paul, how are you?
Okay, Mitch, great to hear from you.
I think that phone call just in is why your show is what it is. You allow people to vent. You allow people to express themselves. And you won't let certain people hijack your show and turn it into what they want just because they don't agree with a phone call like that. Poor Matt, you know, none of us know what he's going through. But at least you allow him to vent. But I called to just basically say, hey, I ain't talked to you in a
yeah,
while.
Yeah, Mitch, I know you had some health issues back when. How are you doing?
I'm doing, well, you know, I lost one foot.
Right.
And I almost lost my other foot. And it took us a long time to beat it. But I'm doing well. I don't have time to worry about what somebody does or doesn't say to make me happy, because I'm going to make myself happy. But I really appreciate you letting Matt do what you just did. That was probably more important to him than $1 million.
Well, Mitch, listen, I know we've had back channel conversations about him before and others, and I know how much you care about things. I'm glad to hear from you, and I hope we can start hearing from you more often. Thanks so much, Mitch. Thank you very much for calling. And Dwayne is up next.
Damn, man, I'm sorry to hear about Matt, man. I ain't no man going through that, Paul. He need help.
Well, hopefully he's getting it.
You think so? Or you find out the resource, Paul. Find out some resource down there where he at so you get some help, man. That kind of hurt me right there. You know what I'm saying? Listen to that. You know? It coming from me, you know that. But anyway, Paul, let me tell you something. This is Roger Cardell, live from Detroit, y'all. On the clock is Chicago Bears. Oh, Lord. The ticket came in. First kick, Jake Daniel. What you say, Paul? First pick, Jake Daniel. On the clock now, Washington Commanders. Uh-oh, ticket in. Oh, Monique Neighbors. Second pick, LSU. What you say, Paul? Who else? The third pick going to, huh? New England Patriots. New England Patriots on the clock. Third pick. Uh-oh, the ticket in. Brian Thomas, LSU. Come on, Paul. What you say, Paul? Huh?
Dwayne, I think you're reading too many LSU Tiger message boards, is what I think. Will is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul. Matt, hang in there, buddy. what are you thinking about Creighton, Paul? How much is your radar up on Creighton right now?
It's pretty high. I've seen them play this year. They're really good, but I don't think they are quite in the Vols league.
Yeah. I'm eager to see the Purdue game, but knock on wood, we got to get past this Creighton team first. And, I mean, I think if we play good, we should be able to handle them, and that's why I'm eager to see Purdue. But, Paul, I don't use Twitter. I'll hurry up and get off here. So if you're in a Rudy Giuliani situation where you have to go find some votes, you can put me down for Dwayne or Matt, okay?
We'll see if we can borrow some of Rudy's forehead paint. And
God. Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Forehead that paint bad. That does not run on a hot summer day as he's outside the landscaping shop.
Yeah, when you get pushed in the corner, will not smear. So if you if Matt or Dwayne needs
well,
to
let me also say this, Will. We're a little more loyal to our friends than Rudy's best friend was to him.
Oh, man. I mean, it's a tough situation. I don't want to get political now, Paul.
I mean, Rudy went from America's mayor to literally a bum on the street selling pencils.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was in elementary school during 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
everybody wanted to be Rudy.
You couldn't beat Rudy. I mean, he was on Saturday Night Live. I mean, come on, man. He hosted. All right, Paul. You have a good afternoon.
Great to hear from you. We'll take a short break. We head to L.A. next to find out about the Crimson Tides game later tonight.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, we were listening during the break to some of the Alabama players and Coach Oates talk about tonight's game against North Carolina. Nick Kelly covers the Crimson Tide for the Tuscaloosa News. He is in Los Angeles, and he joins us now. Nick, seems like you've had a nice excursion to the West Coast this year. Good afternoon.
Between being here for the Rose Bowl and now this, I was just thinking back, it's been quite a couple months between the last time I was here until now, and a few things have been happening in Alabama athletics world.
Well, let's talk about the things we don't know, first of all. We've heard Coach Oates talk about the health of his team, which is still up in the air. Give us the latest as we are closing in on this game in a couple of hours.
Yeah, I think the big questions around Latrell Reitzel, who's one of their starters and really one of their best players, I would argue the most important outside of Mark Sears. He's been dealing with a head injury. I think there's some optimism that he could go. Of course, those situations are a little challenging just because you got to clear certain protocols, make sure there's no headache. It's not quite like a broken bone where, hey, can you play with it or not? But there's some optimism. He was practicing a little bit yesterday. My understanding is he did some shooting. I don't know how much live work he did, but I think it's a matter of making sure that he has no symptoms and he's ready to go because he's had a history of head injuries. And so I think that's going to be a decision that's made all the way up until game time where Oates is waiting to hear from the medical staff, and that decision will be made by them to make sure he's ready to go. But I think there is some optimism he could play, but I don't know if that means that he will play. That those head injuries are tough to see. But overall, they're pretty healthy. And other than Davin Cosby, who's a reserve guard, he's got a broken foot. They're in a good spot, which I think they're glad to be at this point in the season.
Nick, I'm not trying to turn you into a neurologist, but what is the protocol on something like that? What's the final test around game time that he must go through before he can get the green light or not?
Yeah, I don't want to pretend I have the exact concussion protocol figured out for you, but basically it's making sure there are no symptoms, making sure there is no headache, because that was even a problem with him, I think, coming back, because he missed four games late in the season is that the headache would flare up some, and you just got to make sure that's gone. Especially with someone who's had concussions or head injuries before, you have to basically make sure that the symptoms are minimized and that, I think it's a case of you got to make sure there's nothing there to indicate that he's still dealing with something. But other than that, like you said, I'm not a neurologist, so I don't pretend like I have it figured out.
Nick Kelly joining us, Tuscaloosa News in Los Angeles. Nick, you've covered this team all year. You've seen them play a lot of really quality teams, many that are still alive. Just give us your view from a layman's perspective of how this game flows tonight, and ultimately, what does Alabama need to overcome to get the win?
I think it all comes down to how does some of their bigs play, because Armando Bacot represents something they've struggled with all year. They thought they were going to have Charles Bediako back as a rim protector. He was huge, actually, against Bacot last year when they played UNC in a 4-overtime game. He was a big reason why they won that game. But they didn't have them because he decided to go, or they didn't have Bediako as he decided to go out for the draft. And that was a big loss for this team, and they haven't really found a way to make up for that loss all season without good rim protection. So they've struggled against teams that have a good big like Bacot. And so whether they can handle Bacot or not remains to be seen. But so far in this season, we've not seen them handle someone like him well, that big presence on the inside. So we'll see if they can't figure that out. It's going to be a long game, and I think UNC could win comfortably. But if Alabama can contend with Bacot, they've got a shot in this one. So if it all comes down to guys like Nick Pringle, Mohamed Wage, and some of their bigs on the inside.
Nick, history doesn't matter unless you're writing a story about the history of Alabama basketball. And only one time has Alabama ever advanced past the Sweet 16. This has been a familiar place throughout Alabama's history, but only one time under Mark Godfrey did they ever get to the Elite Eight. They've never gotten to the Final Four. All right, I'm curious, that may weigh on your mind as you're covering this game, but does that matter to the young men on the actual court?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, you want to be the team that makes history for the program. And I think for Oates, he's talked about how important it is to get to that next round and to get past this kind of Sweet 16 bump that they haven't been able to get over. And really, last season, we thought that was going to be the year for Alabama because they're the number one overall seed. They had some elite talent on that team, and they ended up getting upset in the Sweet 16. So I think this is kind of that big next step. If Alabama is going to be a legit national program in hoops under Oates, it's got to get past this round. And I think the team knows that. Oates knows that. And so there's a lot of, I don't want to say pressure, because if anything, the pressure is the lowest it's ever been, because this is the first time Oates is coaching against a higher seed in the NCAA tournament at Alabama. But I think there's some pressure, to take that next step for this program. If they want to be considered one of the elite programs in the country, they've got to get past this round.
And beyond that, I know Oates has received a big contract extension, all the things that normally come with great success, which he has had. But I never really gotten a good handle, because I'm not there like you are, of what the future looks like in terms of facilities upgrades for this program, a new arena. Where is Alabama on those critical factors?
Yeah, I think that the facility upgrades are probably sooner than the new arena, just from a practical standpoint. But my understanding is that that is something that's important to Oates, and it's something that I think Greg Byrne is making an effort to do, is to continue upgrading those facilities, and also just because it's more practical and something you can do in the more immediate future. The new arena, the costs continue to be high. Fundraising efforts are being made, but that was never something that it has to be done to keep Oates. And I mean, he could probably win out on the local park court there. Of course, he wants a new arena, and I think a lot of guys on the team want a new arena for just a better fan experience, where you can have a more tough home environment for teams to play in. But I don't know. That's an immediate thing, and I think we're still going to be waiting a little bit before a new arena is to come around. But I don't think that's terribly important for Oates to be successful. I just think it'd be a nice thing for them to have for the fan experience.
Nick Kelly, Tuscaloosa News in Los Angeles. The game in just about 5 hours. We'll take a short break from here. We'll head to Detroit and update what the latest is on Tennessee's Sweet 16 game tomorrow night against Creighton. And we're also coming right back with your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So here is an update. The caller bracket, for the Madison, Mississippi bracket, Squirrel, the number one seed. You have AJ on the other side. The defending champion, assuming he gets by Andre, will meet the number one seed. You can vote on Twitter, X, right now. Josh is up next in Huntsville, Alabama. Hello, Josh.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Very well. Thank you.
I just want to say I'm a first-time caller, and I love the show. I've been listening to you ever since I lived in Birmingham on Jock's Radio, and anybody who says that you guys have gone downhill is ludicrous. The show gets better every day. I love it. I'll try to be quick. I just wanted to give a couple encouraging words to Matt. I heard his call on my way home from work. I've had several seizures myself. I have dealt with that. I don't deal with it on the level that he does, however. But I do want to say the way he sounded earlier, it kind of touched me as well. But I want to let him know that his family, he may think bad things, but his family is there for him. My brother is 6 years older than me, and my brother gave me more crap than anybody when we were growing up. But if I call my brother right now, my brother will come running and has got my back to this day. And no matter what, he will always have my back along with my mom. And my dad doesn't speak to me for any reason at all, but I've forgiven my dad for that, and if my dad called me today, I would pick that phone up. And I just want to let Matt know to keep his head up and to have positive thoughts. Don't wake up thinking negative thoughts. Think positive thoughts. And I'm a single dad with 9-year-old twins. I got a boy and a girl, and that's what I teach them every single day, is to think positively. Treat people how you want to be treated. And Matt, one day you will be in the UN. You keep practicing on reading. You keep doing what you're doing. You will be there. Just practice and think positively. You will get there, my friend.
Thank you so much, Josh. That was really a great call, and we are appreciative. Miles is up next in Asheville, North Carolina. Hello, Miles.
Paul, it is an honor to speak to you.
Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. I was a sports writer, editor, and broadcasting for 50 years.
Wow.
And, yes, sir. And every once in a while, when I'm listening to your show, by the way, which is A+, the phone call will come in, and it was shocking. And that's the situation with Matt. I'm not going to be long here. My father often would give me wise advice. And to Matt, I say this. Be a good listener. Because when you're listening, somebody else is doing the talking. And there are pro and con people in this world. But there's a rarity when you can go on the radio with a man like you that I respect, and I do, and say something what I said. Don't give up the boat, ship, whatever you're going to call it, Matt. You're going to make it in life. There's going to be dips and dives, but I guarantee it to you. We love you out here in the world, and you're not by yourself, and I guarantee it. it's rare when you can get somebody like yourself, Paul, on air and handle a call like that. And I just wanted to congratulate you for being a good listener, Paul. And I know that's going to make it. Okay. That's
Miles, thank you very much. It's a great pleasure to talk to you. Anybody that can be in that profession for as long as you, you have my undying respect. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you taking a look off.
You be well. You take care of yourself. Squirrel is up next.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. And I second what that gentleman said. I really hate that Matt's having a hard time right now. And that's why when I got on his call yesterday, I didn't come in hot. Because, you know, I just didn't want the dude to think I'd been calling him lazy or calling him names, because I literally had not called him any names. I don't know what other people have been doing, but, you know, I wasn't going to go down that road. But if I could give Matt two pieces of advice, the first thing is that, you know, lots of people have issues, but a lot of us don't look back on them and dwell on them like maybe he's doing. You know, for instance, I was adopted as a child, but I've never looked back on that. I've tried to look forward in my life and make the most of the opportunities that were presented to me by being brought to America, brought to this country. And second, I think he needs to get out of the house and he needs to find something to do. And if he has reading issues, there's jobs out there that don't require a lot of reading. There's companies out there, construction companies, companies of that nature, that will pay you basically just to breathe. All you have to do is show up at the job and breathe for 8 hours, and at the end of the week, they give you a paycheck. And I would suggest he get out and get away from the house and get some fresh air, maybe some hard work for 8 hours a day. And then, you know, like I said, focus on the future and quit dwelling on the past. Have I said anything incorrect?
You're right, Squirrel. And I don't want to be a therapist here, but there comes a point where you have to live in the present and move forward. Everyone in the audience right now, including me,
we all have
could go back to a point where this happened to me, therefore I didn't do what I should have done. That's part of your life.
Yes, we all have regrets. We all made mistakes. All of us, none of us had perfect parents. I mean, I don't even want to go down that road, but like I said,
you know Squirrel, not to change the subject, but you know, I have a lot of regrets. I wish I'd been there the day that Jim hit a 60-second home run.
Yeah, I have a lot of regrets like that. I would have liked just to have seen him play myself.
Yeah, you know, I never saw Babe or Roger Maris. I mean, I saw Barry Bonds and Sosa break the records, but it seemed tainted. But to see Jim at his final at-bat break the all-time home run record would have been – I have so many great baseball memories because my dad was a baseball fan. I wish I'd been in the bleachers catching the ball, don't you, Randy?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, what pisses me off about Jim is that, you know, as young as he is, we could have seen him play if we'd have just known he existed. I mean, somebody in his early 20s or 30s, I mean, I'm 66. I could have went and watched him play during
No, I could
prime.
Have, too. I was at Augusta in 97 when Tiger won, and I vaguely remember Jim being disqualified in the final round because his ball isolated on the 12th hole. But had it not been for that, he would have beaten Tiger. And
that was because that caddy for the other player stepped on the ball and pressed it into the ground.
And the time that he went mano a mano with Michael Jordan in the NBA Finals and.
There's videos out there, Jim. We've just got to search and find them. I just think they're out there.
Squirrel, in today's world of YouTube and everybody having, I just can't believe that nobody, including Jim, doesn't have any hard evidence that he ever did anything other than call this show.
I'm telling you, there's got to be evidence of this guy. I'm going to continue searching. I'm a one-trick pony, and that's my trick.
I mean, I know you. Listen, you've done some great research. I mean, you've proven that to me in a scary way.
I question my own research now. Yeah. And when he came with the Dickey thing the other day, that threw me completely off whack right there. So I'm back to square one. But well, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Squirrel. Thank you for bringing some levity to what has been a very difficult first hour here on the eve of Good Friday. Maybe Jim will reappear. We'll take a short break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.